Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens, Ted Johnson. Fitzy, you and I have talked about this a lot, but the text line can be fascinating at times when there are like consecutive texts that are totally polar opposites in reacting.
Oh my God, there's nothing funnier than like, this team sucks. Yep. I love this team. You guys suck. Best show ever. Of course, they're the best. This is my favorite.
And I loved it. Ted, you got a little bit of this. You got the 413 that says, Ted is so right. Trust the process, boys. They are way ahead of schedule, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the very next text is the 401. Next year, Ted's motto. Whatever happened to this year, sigh, pathetic. So consecutive kind of thoughts on the text line reacting to our discussion. And you know what will really sway this is just the results as we move forward. Like, if they keep winning, no one's going to lament the trade deadline. Yep. And if they start having, this is the one thing, is injuries.
And here's the other thing. It's in the playoffs. Is we're not going to sit there and go, oh, they were one player away. There's not going to be something that happens in the game where you go, oh, if we had this guy.
Agree.
We would have been better. No one will even think about the trade deadline if they get bounced in the playoffs.
I agree. I actually think if there's a reaction to the trade deadline moving forward, it'll be more about Harold Landry misses two games and who steps in. And if you don't have or the Stevenson injury isn't just a 1 week, you're like, wait, he's now missed 3 weeks with the toe kind
right.
of thing?
Say Harold Landry is injured going into the playoffs. You know, oh, we could have had a guy, but. Do we expect Harold Landry to make a play in the game that was going to change the fortunes of the team? No, because he hasn't really all year.
Yeah, the pass rush hasn't been great.
So
that has been one of your harpings in the TED Talks week after week, is that the pass rush just doesn't live up to what we had hoped it to be. Anyway, it's 5:05:04. It's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep.
Top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So we'll kick things off with a quick note off of the epiphany that I had last night watching Monday Night Football. Old friend Fitzy, Jacoby Brissett, got the win last night for the Cardinals.
He's the best quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals at this moment. And why come we couldn't get that version of him?
Well, you know who's decided that? The Arizona Cardinals, because he is going to remain the starter for the Cardinals. They will not be returning right now to Kyler Murray, who I've always called. I had a longstanding bet with Rich Keefe. I think Kyler Murray's been the most overrated player in football for a long time. He can be fun, and he can wow you, and he can do things. But does he win consistency?
No. I mean, if it didn't work out with Cliff Kingsbury, who was the guy that believed him in college and, you know, made him great in college, it's not going to work. If it didn't work out for him with Cliff, then it's not going to work out.
And I think the final nail, or maybe not the final nail, it's a little strong, but the nail in his coffin was Marvin Harrison not doing well with him, and suddenly he's with Brissett, and they're like, oh, this is why we drafted that guy near the top of the draft at receiver for a quarterback
to
use him.
Number two overall last year, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he drives me – his game is kind of like he leaves the pocket early.
Yeah.
The ball doesn't come out on time. Nope. I mean, he's got great talent, but he doesn't play the position efficiently enough.
And one of the things that I think may have levied a little influence there is, did you hear some of those comments from Marvin Harrison Sr.?
What did he say?
Dan Ball, if you could look those up, he had some pretty biting comments about, I think he said something to the effect, if I played in this offense, they'd take away my Hall of Fame jacket, basically, that this offense doesn't allow receivers and isn't a good enough offense to get the best from talents at like his son at wide receiver.
Let's remember also too, but there was the split up of the coordinators coming out of the Eagles. Ted, earlier we were saying like, well, no, the Colts have had a head coach for 3 years. Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon left at the same time to pursue head jobs. Gannon was a defensive coordinator. So it's not like he brought offensive wizardry like Shane Steichen did to Indianapolis. And I think they thought they had enough talent to will themselves into competitive relevance in the NFC West. They don't. And, you know, ever since the Hail Murray, that great pass to DeAndre Hopkins, he hasn't done squat in the NFL.
So Kyler Murray may be, he was in our conversation for one of the better all-around athletes of modern times because he was a top 10 pick in baseball and a number one overall pick in football, but he's no longer maybe the starting quarterback in Arizona. Yes, Dan Ball.
That quote that you're looking for, what I do know is that you can put Marvin Harrison Sr. in my prime, so he's third person like Jeremy Swayman.
Love it.
In Arizona right now, and guess what happened? Canton, Ohio is going to call or is going to send me a prepaid envelope and say, could you please send that jacket back? So I'm not speaking for anyone. I'm speaking for me. It's a hard watch right now. You can quote me on that.
Does he ever consider what that might do to a son in the locker room or with the coaches? You know, it's kind of like Dion crapping all over the Cleveland Browns. It's like, you know, is that are you doing your son any favor when you criticize openly the team that he's playing for? I don't know if that's a smart thing.
No, but it kind of worked in this case because, well, what kind of worked is Kyler Murray's hurt and Brissett comes in and he utilizes Marvin Harrison better than Kyler Murray was. And now at least for the time being, Jacoby Brissett's going to keep playing.
No, but you're right, Ted. I mean, that's a quote that makes you go, oh, yeah, he didn't think about his son or the team he plays for at all.
At all.
That's an I want to get my name into the headlines quote.
Yeah. Also feels like the kind of quote, if it were me, that I'd give after like seven Miller Lights and I'd be like, oh, that's what I said to that guy when he stopped me in the parking lot. I don't remember that at
all. That'd be one heck of a UNH tailgate where you're saying, if they called me.
We're not doing that. We don't ever do that.
If I was playing linebacker for UNH. Anyways.
So the Patriots did nothing at the trade deadline. And
we're doing nothing. They traded guys away.
That's right. They offloaded some hangers-on. Even paid to get basically rid of one of them, Duggar. Yep. They're basically paying him to
play for the Steelers.
And he played like a ton of snaps.
7 out of the 78 snaps.
As they upset the Colts by shutting down Jonathan Taylor and picking off Daniel Jones. So it looks like, at least for 1 week, that's a nice addition for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We need to look at the offensive line right now, Ted, because that's something that I don't know we've spent enough time on. It was weird because coming into the year, we said Will Campbell. Oh, we're going to focus on Will Campbell. And it's like the more they win, the less we kind of talk about the offensive line, even though it doesn't feel like the offensive line is playing great football right now. It feels like, and you and Brian Hoyer were sort of addressing this, you know, different TE stunts and different things.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting how Hoyer put it. He said the young guys on one side are having trouble and the old guys on the other side are having trouble. Like the Morgan Moses, Mike Onwenu side is
not having it all in the same game.
Right.
It's like one game, it's one side's the problem and the other game, it's the other side. So it's if they both sides suck in the same game, they're in big time trouble.
Look out, Drake May. Just
real quick question, guys. Why do we think Mike Onwenu, who obviously, like you said, Andy, is the highest paid, not recently acquired free agent. Why is he struggling now out of the blue?
It's only one game. I don't think he's been a big issue. But he got beat pretty soundly a couple of times in this last game. So it's like he's the guy we're talking about. I don't think he's been an issue consistently all year.
Right.
So I wouldn't worry about it. Or really that right side.
No, I think for the most part, the right side's been pretty good. And the left side,
more of an issue.
Has looked young.
Yeah.
Has looked like two young players.
Right.
But Onwenu has been a guy that they signed him to that deal, and it was never like, oh my God, they got such good value there. He's by far their best offensive lineman. He's super consistent. People like to harp on, and I don't know whether this is a factor or not, his weight and whether he's in shape and if he's overweight and how much overweight he is and how that affects his play. So I think that's something. But the sacks have been an issue. Ted, you've been harping on it. 34 sacks. 12 sacks the last 2 weeks, a couple back-to-back half-dozen sack games. We kind of, I won't say laughed one off, but it's like Myles Garrett. Oh, he's the best player in football. Myles Garrett's going to get his kind of thing. Well, this week it was a couple young first-round picks and young guys versus young guys, and they're getting his. So it's harder to make excuses, I guess. So we talked to Mark Schlereth in the 2:30 slot here today, And he's a guy that says quarterback sacks are on the quarterback. It's a statistic for the quarterback. He's an offensive lineman. Keep that in mind. But what were his thoughts on how Drake can help out the line, how Drake can avoid the sacks?
Like, when you watch Drake May play, and I've done several of the games, like, there's a lot of front side of progression, one to do to buy myself some time and scramble. And so what would help him get off some of the sacks is one to two to check down, one to two to check down. And that's something I know that they're working on. Hey, listen, one to two to take off and scramble. He's made a lot of big plays. He made some big plays yesterday or Sunday doing that. So that's not altogether a bad thing. You're winning right now. Those are good things. Those are the good issues to have. Like, we can still get coached up on some of those things.
You agree with Schlereth there? The check down might become a tool or a friend for Drake May?
I would go to the check down quicker than he's doing. What I do worry about is I think teams might have start using what the Falcons game plan was the crush rush.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Where they brought five guys, and they just closed, pinched down the outside. I think when he feels like he's boxed in, that's where he's his least effective. If you don't crash in the ends, then he can see clearly the outlet pass to the flat and get the ball out quicker. But when the walls are closing in, when they pinch it in and then just rush guys up, you know, five guys in his face, three guys in his face, and then two guys from the outside, I think he has a harder time finding where the outlet is.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
The other question I had there with this idea of check down, and we talked about it off air, actually, and do you guys recall maybe like 3 weeks ago or a month ago, might have been Tennessee, somewhere in there. Do you remember he had a little bit of a throwaway line in a post game where he's like, you know, I don't want to be check down Charlie. It's like he threw that out there in a disparaging way.
That's a good point. It's just not in his nature to take the short money. He wants to go big or go home kind of thing.
And it's very funny you say that, Andy, because I was thinking last night about the whole idea that he's taken six sacks each of the last 2 weeks. And is that not just indicative of Drake May's play or offensive line issues, but is this now something we need to get used to with the hyper-athletic, don't live to play another day, but rather always live to extend the play type of quarterback? Like, does Josh Allen get sacked a lot? Probably. Does Justin Herbert get sacked a lot, a decent amount?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because these guys are so big. They're so different than most quarterbacks who 3-, 5-, and 7-step drop, look for a read, if not panic or get sacked. They're always trying to make something happen. So I think this is actually something we're not used to in New England as Patriots fans, and that we're going to have to start getting used to or living with, because it's the nature of the long, strong, hyper-athletic, mobile, contemporary quarterback.
Absolutely. I've always said this. At draft time, teams talk about wanting athletic quarterbacks who can run. And then midway through their second season, they're like, oh, why don't you run a little bit less? You're our good quarterback. We can't put you in harm's way. And it's true, Fitzy. You can't make a crazy play without trying to make a crazy play. And if it's a crazy play, inherently, there's downside, right? There's the potential for it to go horribly wrong, for it to go sideways. Mm-hmm. I keep going back to the play with the guy draped all over his shoulders where he threw it to Diggs. You've seen that before where, because he gets pulled, his arm gets pulled on release, and he throws it to a Ted Johnson who's in the flat, and Ted Johnson's running to the end zone for a pick six. Like, that could have gone wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. It's a fine line. Look, I would rather him be a guy that's just a wild stallion that you have to throttle back than a guy that you have to, I don't know, teach to. I mean, how many quarterbacks that they're risk averse,
right?
And they don't want to throw the ball deep. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks like that. So
Jason Campbell used to be that guy. Remember, you drive me nuts. The guy would never throw picks. You know why? because he would never make plays.
Yeah.
If you're never going to try to make a play, you're never going to put the ball in harm's way, ever. And to me, that's not how you win ever in the NFL, but certainly not now. How you win now is throw the ball, right? Make plays in the passing game. Justin Herbert's a great example, Fitzy. I was watching Brady do his game 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Brady was on the – and he was kind of bitching about Herbert running, bitching about Herbert taking hits. And I get it from Brady's perspective. Tom Brady made his money in the pocket. He made his money, you know, on platform, in the pocket, that whole thing, Peyton Manning. Justin Herbert's not you. Drake May's not you. Like, these guys make their money in a different way. And I think Josh has actually been the most forthcoming on that. He's talked a few times, like, if you're trying to coach out the playmaking, then why is he your quarterback? Mm-hmm. Like, you want him to make plays for you. You'd be a bad coach. Mm-hmm. Now he needs to protect himself. And the other thing that Vrabel and others have brought up, Ted, and I don't know if you've noted this, some of the sacks are for like a 1 yard loss, either at the line of scrimmage or he even goes out of bounds just shy.
Right.
And yeah, that's a sack, but is it the worst play in the world? Right. Probably not. He didn't lose 7 yards. He wasn't really in harm's way.
Right. It's just another hit. It's just another mile on the odometer.
Bingo.
That's the one thing, you know?
Didn't he run himself into a big hit on Sunday?
Yeah.
He ran 13 yards in the first quarter or something. It was like, slide, dummy. Then all of a sudden, boom, just took a huge hit to his right side.
There's one. It's almost in reg. Okay, you're in the pocket, go down. But it's when he leaves the pocket, the velocity of the hits for me, because guys are running. He's running the collisions. There was a play where he got, it was like a 2 yard gain, but he was about to slide, and a guy came from behind him and then just fell. Yes. All his weight came down on him.
Yeah, big guy, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't a little guy.
It's just, I just don't need the hits. The hits.
Too important.
Way too important.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Funny, though, on the opposite end of that spectrum, the Penix play where he was about to run it in for a touchdown and then kind of stopped and slid, like, right before getting in. Did you guys see that? Because in my head, I'm like, go for it. If you're in it for a penny, you're in it for a pound. Right, you're right there. Right.
But it is that risk reward, and some of it is instincts. You know, it's almost like they black out and they forget rules and coaching, and it's just back to, I'm an athlete. That guy's an athlete. Can I beat that guy? One thing we do need to get a reaction to, Ted, we'll get to your reaction in a second, but we asked Brian Hoyer, because he's been defending it a little bit. There was the clap heard round Foxborough or not heard at all. What was Brian Hoyer's thoughts on the Falcons whining?
I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the film. I'm like, clapping. First of all, you know, in the NFL, the only way the quarterback's ever going to clap is when he's away, it's on the silent cadence, and the time's running down, and the center's not paying attention, the guard's not paying attention.
Yeah.
And when you start clapping, that means I want the ball now. And I'm looking, I'm like, all right, D-line, no one's clapping. Linebackers, no one's clapping. And then I see Jalen Hawkins, and he's trying to get the attention of the corner, because they're going from two by two to three by one.
Yep.
And obviously that changes, you know, their coverage calls. And someone tried to tell me that that's what the center heard, with all of the fans cheering. Like, it's so ridiculous that sometimes you just got to call it out.
So, Ted, do you agree with that? Because we all saw later that the Jalen Hawkins, who's 12 yards downfield and diagonal from the center, a long ways away from the center.
Look, you know, in the post game, it was interesting because this came up right after the post game. So my first initial thing was, I'm just going to believe the coach was right and that someone on the Patriots clapped, and then that's what messed him up.
Okay.
So I went from that. So that's where I ran with it. I didn't fact check it. I didn't have time because it was right after the game. And I just said, yeah, that, you know what? I could see maybe Mike doing that, telling a player to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because do you guys remember what Mike did? We had a rule that we had made a little loophole in rule. It was you called a timeout to ice a kicker.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there was no rule that if you call another timeout when you don't have, and we didn't have any timeouts left. We called a timeout, our last timeout, to freeze the guy. Okay. And then he goes back out to line up, and Vrabel starts screaming, timeout, timeout, again, two in a row.
Yep.
But we didn't have one, but the refs stopped it as if thinking we did.
Right.
And they, oh, crap, they didn't have a timeout, but he called a timeout. And then they made a rule saying, if you call a timeout when you don't have one, then that's a penalty on you. And that was, I remember that.
It was mid-season.
I'm just thinking, okay, that's how Mike thinks. That's how it's like, can we find a loophole in the rule to maybe to your advantage? And I thought maybe that's what he was doing.
That's, originally I thought that, but even if it happened, So I'm assuming the center complained to his coach. What happened out there? I heard somebody clap, right. Coach. I heard somebody clap.
Yeah, that's
keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, talk to Penix, figure it out, and then for the coach to come out in the press conference in his sarcastic way.
He should have thought about what he was saying.
Yeah, I thought that was really kind of...
Rank, file, and amateur.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
I believe the kids used to say weak sauce right there from Raheem Morris.
Weak sauce.
I didn't. And then after you watch it, I don't think the clap ever even really happened. I don't think anybody in the front happened.
No, because I
do think, maybe if Ted Johnson is going in front of the guy, five yards in front of maybe that could get him to freak out.
Yeah.
But I don't think it happened. I think the guy just effed up. And then Penix effed up even more by not having... an escape strategy. He was so freaked out, he just, instead of throwing it to the Bijan Robinson side, so you get the throwaway, he ends up getting the intentional grounding and the loss. And
how do you rule that? See, I'm thinking going forward, they should start maybe doing that, clapping. We go, it's a penalty. It was, how can you distinguish, if I'm a defender clapping, why can't I just say it was a signal?
Well, and that's where I would have it potentially as a long con. Do it a lot of times all year long so that in a tense situation like that, you can get away with it and be like, no, we've been doing that all year long.
What are you saying?
We're not simulating anything.
I think there's something there.
I do think there's a gray area.
I'd go back to that.
If anybody can find it, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Currently coaching in the National Football League, it is Mike Vrabel. Yeah. He will find it because where there's a will, there's a way, and he has the will. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, I did a little homework. I'm jealous of Ted Johnson always having so many notes and papers and stuff. So I went home. Do you see this, Ted?
Yeah.
I can write a lot of stuff on a notebook, too.
No.
I went through an exercise of the top half of the league. So teams that are pretty good. It's teams with four losses or less. What's your best win? What's your worst loss? And compare that. That helps you get a feel for just how good a team is. Or is it just a weak schedule? The Patriots have a weak schedule. So we'll get to... team's best wins and worst losses. That's up next here on WEEI. But first, for the final time, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.